Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, is with me here in the studio. Thanks for taking the time again, Kenny, for being with us.
Oh, I am always happy to join you. It's a highlight of my Friday.
Well, it's the highlight of more than a few people's Fridays, I think, as I hear when we miss you. I don't know. There is something fun about just hearing Kenny hold forth, as my sister in California says. And I guess this week, what I want to hear about, I mean, obviously we fall and spring, extremes in temperature, but it was 30 this morning. They're saying 80 here, which I know means a southwest, a wind coming off the lake or off the land. And then tomorrow it's back down into the 50s. So we just have a lot going on right now.
We do. And want to have some fun with terminology?
Please.
Should we do it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You got two different kind of related terms. We're going to start with the big one, which is omega block. Have you ever heard that term?
I have never heard that. Never.
Okay. So blocking patterns are meteorological patterns. They're fairly common, honestly. There's a little bit of research into, you know, how much they've changed. But a blocking pattern is exactly what it sounds like. It's essentially an atmospheric traffic jam, one way of thinking of it, where, you know, normally the jet stream, kind of rivers of air that steer weather systems around the globe, they're somewhat continuous, so meaning they exist with really no breaks along the path or very few breaks along the path, and that's generally what pushes low pressure systems especially around. And those are the precipitating weather systems.
Right.
And when we get into a blocking pattern, what happens in the area that's affected by the block is that it appears like that weather systems just can't get into your region. Now, what's really happening is usually you have this very large area of high pressure, and the flow around that high pressure is kind of shaped like a horseshoe with the curved side facing up, which also resembles the Greek letter omega.
Yes.
And really what happens is the precipitating weather systems follow that kind of, you know, upside down U shape or horseshoe shape or omega shape. And they just get steered way, way, way around the region. But these things tend to persist. So we are under the influence of an omega high right now, which is why we've had a lot of really, you know, I mean, there might be some showers in parts of Minnesota this evening, but it's essentially been dry, lots of sunshine. And I was up in Tower, Minnesota earlier in the week, and, you know, temperatures were in the 80s.
Yeah.
And people were kind of scratching their heads like, yeah, there's still ice on Vermilion, but it's, you know, 84 degrees in town or whatever.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing that can happen during spring and summer when you're in an omega block. It's essentially why it's been dry. Hmm. And it's the pattern that we're in. And what's interesting is this omega block started, you know, usually if you think of that kind of horseshoe shape, then the high pressure is basically the area under the horseshoe.
Okay.
Right? And then on the left and on the right sides, you would have, you know, you can imagine if you've ever seen how the jet stream works, you know, little troughs that are actually kind of going out of your view. And so you tend to have low pressure on the edges of the omega high pressure system or the omega block. And of course, where you've got low pressure, you've got the, you know, often more active and wetter weather. So even though omega high pressure can be extremely dry inside the high, it can be extremely wet on the other side of it. And in fact, the wet pattern we were in last June, there was basically a big blocking high pressure system off to our east. And we just happened to be, you know, kind of in the horseshoe shape ourselves, where the storms kept flowing right over the region.
Yeah.
So it can be kind of the extremes in very close proximity to one another. Before we got into our omega high, you know, omega is obvious. It's named after the Greek letter. We were in something, the pattern was also dry, and it was from something called a Rex block. Now, a Rex block, it's the same thing where the systems don't move. They're steered around the region. You have a hard time getting precipitation in, but they're configured a bit differently. Just kind of imagine the same omega high, except turn it clockwise 90 degrees and squish it a little bit. And so the high and the low pressure system are kind of like on top of each other. One's north, the high is north, the low is south. And they sort of work like gears. You know, imagine a chain then sort of moving around them in an S-shaped pattern, and it just slows everything down and usually keeps systems way off to our south, which is why, you know, for the last week or so, we've been dry, but parts of the southern U.S. got hammered by really heavy precipitation. So Rex block gave birth to an omega block, and that's why it's been so warm and dry, and we're kind of, you know, comes through in little waves. So we're going to have some warmth today, cool down a bit tomorrow after a cold front comes through, and then really warm Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, possibly Wednesday, and you know, that'll be warm, dry, clear, windy. So you're going to see the fire danger really ramp up late this weekend,
okay,
into early mid next week.
And then do you see it moving along after that, or do you see it hanging around?
Yeah, so I mean, this particular pattern will break sometime next week. It looks like Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know if that means we're going to get, some of the models have been producing a lot of precipitation, but we're in a really dry, at least micro pattern right now. And I want to be careful about promising any relief from it. Definitely there will be a change in the flow. So the warm air probably, you know, will peak sometime between Sunday and Wednesday, and then it should cool down. And in theory, we'll have much better opportunities for precipitation because we won't be in the middle of that high pressure anymore. We'll have moved first to its edge and then maybe even behind it a little bit. So that'll be cooler and hopefully wetter conditions. But if we don't get precipitation, you know, there's always a chance that another week or two away, we just reestablish the same pattern. So we really do need precipitation. It's not guaranteed, but it looks at least more possible, somewhat more likely as we get into the latter half of next week and the following weekend.
And I will say that we have had enough precipitation in the last month. It does seem like things right now are greener, not only because of the temps, but because it's the soil is wetter.
Yeah. I was talking to a journalist up in northern Minnesota yesterday and talked to some of our observers and just some people that, you know, I've been out at a lot of conferences recently, little meetings.
Yeah.
And I've talked to people from all over the state, and definitely in the north, the sense is anyway that there's been enough precipitation that, you know, in northwest Minnesota, where you have lots of bogs, in north central Minnesota, there's actually been a pretty good filling of some of those ditches, those kind of boggy ditches that you have.
Yeah.
Water tends to fill up. And it is, you know, becoming lush. And there's decent amount of water in northeast Minnesota. The Rainy River was running kind of high after some recent heavy rains. So, from that sense, we're looking okay. It's just that we also have an air mass moving in with incredibly low relative humidity. And that's really, so just imagine an air mass that sort of sucks the moisture out of everything.
Yeah.
That's the real concern.
Yeah.
And the Weather Service has to work with the Department of Natural Resources. We've got a whole fire weather team here at the DNR. And these people sit and they're looking at, you know, how much the fuels are building up, how dry it seems, what the fire potential is, and they work with the National Weather Service to kind of, one of the big questions is the green up, the timing of the green up going to offset some of that fire risk? It's going to be close. And as we all know, you certainly can have fires after green up and once all the trees are in full canopy, but it's, it becomes less likely because there's now moisture moving through the all the branches and the roots and everything. So,
right. And has greenup happened down there in the cities already?
Yeah, it's I would say 90% complete in the southern half of Minnesota.
Okay.
There's, you know, you've got some of the trees, especially in shaded areas, are still kind of budding. I might even be more than 90% complete. They haven't turned that dark green. Some of our deciduous trees haven't turned that sort of dark green that you get once they're fully mature, the leaves are fully maturing. But so we're pretty close. And once that happens across the state, that's also good. It sort of naturally puts more moisture in the air. That moisture running through the stems and the branches and the roots, all of that then gets shared via a kind of water exchange called evapotranspiration, and that helps actually add a little moisture to the air, which then offsets fire risk even further. But we're not there yet. We're still, and
right.
the air mass coming in just naturally on its own has very low relative humidity. And when you combine that with soaring temperatures, 70s and 80s across Minnesota, maybe some 90s in the south and west, it's prime chances for fire conditions. It's going to be close. So I think the message is going to be, you know, if you're burning, if there aren't restrictions, just be really, really careful and also check local guidance, because there may be restrictions in some areas once we get into Sunday through Tuesday in particular.
Okay. And is the, I mean, this, I know you are a meteorologist, not a leaf scientist, but like is the greening up based mostly on daylight? In other words, it'll happen about virtually the same time every year, or is it like, is this heat going to bring them out earlier?
Definitely. Well, great question. From our understanding, and it's certainly, you're going to have variability in different species, and I'm sure foresters and arborists and even horticulturalists could do a better job of this than me, but in general, it's sunlight and heat, and so if you have a really warm spring, you do tend to have an earlier green up, but we've been amazed at how consistent it is. It's usually, you know, it might vary by a week or two. It doesn't vary the way that some of the other phenology can vary. But you can get going much earlier if you've got a really warm, especially bright early spring, or much later if spring is cold. And we've certainly had that kind of variability.
Yep. All right. I'm speaking with Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR. And we will be, as many of you know, we will be off sailing from now till June. So, Kenny, I will talk to you again in June, but hopefully you will get a chance to talk to Leo between now and then. Same time, same place.
Right. Well, safe sailing. Happy travels. Have a good time. Mind those windy days for sure.
Yep.
And I'll talk to you on the other side. And I might be speaking with folks here next couple weeks if Leo wants to do that. So thanks a lot and have a great weekend and enjoy the warmth just safely.
You We will. All right. You take care. Bye-bye. Once again, that was Kenny Blumenfeld with the Minnesota DNR.